Two brief announcements. The first was that there will be a little time at the end of the preaching, or during it if you get bored, to fill out that pledge form if you weren't able to do that last week. And secondly, Father Dave is in the confessional if anybody wants to take advantage of the great sacrament of God's mercy. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him might have eternal life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. There's a question which is as old as humanity itself. It takes different forms, but we may have all asked ourselves this question at one point. Where is God in my brokenness? Where is God in my suffering, in my pain, in my loneliness, in my betrayal, or have been being betrayed? Where is God in evil? Why is there so much evil in the world? Does God create that? This is a question that mankind has struggled with since the beginning, since the fall of Adam and Eve, our first parents who committed the original sin. Evil entered into the world. Creation, which was beautifully ordered, became disordered. Death entered into the world, suffering. And we have had to struggle with this question, because it's at the core of our experience of who we are as human beings. We all ask ourselves this question. We all struggle with this. We've all tasted it in our own lives. And a simple answer to it we heard in the first reading. For you love all things that are, and loathe nothing that you have made. How could a thing remain unless you willed it, O God, or be preserved in existence had it not been called forth by you? At the root of the answer of this question is, where is God in the messiness, in the brokenness of our lives? He said, when you dig down deep, he's there. Because if he wasn't thinking of us, if he wasn't loving us at every single moment of our existence, we would cease to exist. Because we are the creature and he is the creator. So there's this profound truth. And this is something that even Aristotle arrived at, who lived before Christ, that ancient Greek philosopher. He figured this out. We need someone to keep us in existence, and we need someone to have created us. So this is on the base level of survival. We all want to survive. We all strive for that because it's written into our DNA. But is that all that's to life, or is there more? In the verse for the Alleluia of today's Mass, it's God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him might have eternal life. So the reality is that God doesn't just want us to survive, but he wants us to thrive. And he shows us that by giving his only Son on the cross. Can you imagine the world without evil, without suffering, without death, without pain? There would be a lot of good things that we have in this world that wouldn't be here if there wasn't evil, if there wasn't suffering. Think, for example, of your furnace in your house. Gas, natural gas is destroyed, and oxygen is destroyed so that you can have heat, so that you can stay healthy and happy. Or think of your car, which you got into today, which enabled you to come to Holy Mass to worship and adore and love God and each other. Gasoline was destroyed, and oxygen was destroyed to create that big bang so that you could get here. And also think of community action. Think of social justice. If there was not injustice in the world, then what place would charity have? What place would social justice have? So the reality is that God allows evil so that greater good can come out of it. And this he shows us because he just doesn't want us to survive, but he wants us to thrive. Lastly, we'll just look at the example of Zacchaeus. Think of his life. He was a tax collector, and we know that nobody likes taxes, not even accountants. They actually become physically ill because they're working so much to help people with their taxes. Nobody likes taxes. And he was also a wealthy man. So he would have been despised in the society that he lived at because he had more than everybody else. So he probably didn't have that good of a life, even though he had everything he needed to be happy in a worldly way. But what does Jesus do in the life of Zacchaeus? We can see that he was looking for something more. He was searching for something more. And he hears of this guy who's come into town, Jesus, the man who raises people from the dead, who forgives sins, who heals, who calls people to be his best friend. And he gets up into the tree. He gets out of the miserableness of his condition. And he looks to see, who is this Jesus? And what does Jesus do? Jesus looks at him. Jesus loves him. Jesus calls him. He doesn't just pass by. He takes notice of the person who, even though it seemed everything was going good for him, he had a good job, he had lots of money, but he even reaches out to him. Someone who was on the margins of society, even though he seemed to be at the top of the game. Jesus looks at him, Jesus loves him, and takes notice of him. And he says, come down from that tree. Even though you're up at the top of the food chain, come down. I want to have dinner with you. And this scandalized people. Because Jesus, the Savior, ate with sinners. He loved sinners. And they were scandalized at that. And he says, today salvation has come to this house. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save what was lost. So Jesus' primary mission in each and every single one of our lives is to look at us, to love us individually, to seek us out, and to invite us to respond to his invitation. The patron of our parish, the Sacred Heart of Jesus, he says, come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest, says the Lord. Take my yoke upon your shoulders and learn from me, because I am meek and humble of heart. Jesus comes to us like he did to Zacchaeus. And he doesn't want us just to survive, but he wants us to thrive. And he wants us to be with him in heaven for all eternity. God is always faithful to us. He keeps us here at every single moment of our lives. And he wants to give us so much more than just mere survival. He wants to give us salvation that doesn't come from the world. It only comes from Jesus, salvation in his cross. Lastly, I'll put a little plug in for the sacraments. Where do we encounter Jesus? Where do we see him walk by in our lives? In a tangible way, in a way that we can experience. First of all, the holy sacrifice of the Mass. When the priest elevates the sacred host, that is Jesus being raised up on the cross at every single Mass. It's the sacrifice of Calvary. He says, when I am lifted up, I will draw all men, women, and children to myself. So in that moment of the Mass, let Jesus embrace you. Let Jesus love you for being here with him, because that's what he wants to do. When we receive Jesus in Holy Communion, the totality of the Godhead comes to dwell in our souls. So make room for him by making a good confession. My CCD teacher for confirmation, I got to see her the other day. She was like a second mother to me. And she said, when she taught us, she's like, you don't flush your toilet once a year, do you? It's kind of a grotesque thought. But she's like, when you got a problem, you take care of it. Or you don't take a shower once a year, do you? Some of the saints had the gift to smell the stench of when people are living in sin. And if one of the saints came here and smelt me, they'd probably be in the fastest hot rod out of town as they could be. So just this analogy helps us that the sacraments are here for us for whenever we need them. And in the sacraments, we encounter Jesus. We hear him absolve us of our sins. We receive his body and his blood, his soul and his divinity. And it's real. The world today is looking for what's real, and the world is hungry. And they're not finding it in technology. They're not finding it in social media. People are being left more empty than they've ever been. It's because only God can fill that infinite hole which is in the depths of our soul, because he created us for himself, and our hearts are restless until they rest in him. So thank you for your patience with me. Please take advantage of everything the church offers you. It doesn't cost you anything. It's God's gift to us. Salvation is free because Jesus paid the price on the cross. We just receive it now. So may Almighty God bless us, our families, our friends, and all the holy souls in purgatory whom we pray for during this month of November. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ,